Welcome to The City's Backyard with Matt Zacho, a podcast that interviews all walks of life from their own backyard. The City's Backyard starts now.
We are talking about architecture today and all about the questions that you would want to know if you're thinking about doing a home addition or you have some commercial real estate, you don't know what to do with that. Whatever the case may be, we just recently had an episode about the market conditions in real estate. We had a bunch of great brokers on. So this is a nice follow-up as we're getting into the holidays here and people are thinking about what they can do with their homes, whether they're going to stay or move, whatever the case may be. Maybe you want to renovate before you sell, so that you can get the most for your property. Our guest today is Mark Alex Medique. Welcome to the podcast, Mark. You are a licensed architect for about 25 years, practicing in Connecticut, New York, and Florida. And Florida is hot. New York is coming back. And you're in Westport in the backyard of New York City. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to our little chat and continuing our previous conversations.
Exactly. We met out in the marketplace and I found out you were an architect. You found out that I was a radio podcast voiceover guy. And here we are going over some questions that people would want to know. First of all, what does an architect do versus a contractor? And also, that leads to who gets the permits when you're thinking about doing these additions or whatever the case may be?
That's an excellent question, because a lot of times that I come into the picture, I sometimes follow the contractor and sometimes bring the contractor in. So it's a little bit of here and there. But I think the real question that people want answered is, they have a house, let's say, and they have some needs. They want a new master bathroom. They want a new kitchen or whatever it might be. And they think to themselves, who am I going to call? Sometimes they call a contractor. Sometimes they call an architect. The difference between the two is a contractor is the person who actually builds the space. He hires the plumber and hires the framer and hires the painter, et cetera, whatever that might be. The architect just draws little lines on paper. And obviously, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek when I say just draws lines on paper, but
yeah, that's pretty important.
Yeah, no, I'm you know, making fun of it a little bit, but it's the planning of the space, it's the way the spaces come together, it's the regulations, it's the requirements, it's how you proceed through a house, how you enter a house, where is this room going to tie into the other? Those are all things that the architect thinks about. The contractor usually follows the plans that the architect has drawn and makes the space to his vision, to his or her vision.
The architects that I knew in college worked their butt off. While I was working at the local rock station, coming home at 5 a.m. after my overnight shift in junior, senior year, I got the better shifts, but they were always working on their projects while everybody else was out partying. So
that's a pretty accurate picture.
That should say something about your education and how you can't screw up on these plans when you're talking about serious real estate investments into your home, your commercial property. It has to be right. Correct?
Well, that's true. And there's not infinite, but there is a lot of regulations and a lot of technical knowledge that goes into making sure that things are both complying with code, but also satisfy what a homeowner might be looking for or a client might be looking for in that new space. It can be like a Tetris puzzle every time.
I have somebody in my neighborhood that was thinking about doing an addition, and the architect told them that they would have to basically get rid of their dormered out bathroom and dormered out kitchen to do what they wanted to do as far as go up high and just expand a large cape, basically.
And it
was like opening up a can of worms. So they did the plans and they didn't carry through, and then they were going to move. And so these are the things that people are going through with older homes in Fairfield County that might be too small. A lot of people now are living in the backyard, literally, you know, not in the city. So they're not going into New York like they used to, or if they are, it's not as often. So their home is even more important to have that correct space so that your family can function, you know, mentally be healthy about it. Because if you're all cooped up and, you know, it's not the right things that you need in your home, next thing you know, all hell breaks loose in the household.
No, that's true.
So what do people do?
Historically, I've been contacted for additions and renovations, and it's usually a master bathroom, master suite, let's say, with a closet and bathroom and bedroom, or a kitchen. Those are the two things. I mean, those are the, you know, top two things that people always asked for years and years and years. But now there's a new contender for the top, and it is a home office. Mm. So, and by and large, those are a lot less expensive and a lot smaller, but they can be very important. And I'll tell you what, the thing that people don't think about when they're planning their home office is the location of it in the house, because you kind of want to be close to your family, and, you know, everyone loves their kids and their dogs and everything like that. But when you're trying to be professional with your team in Hong Kong or wherever it might be, and in the meantime, you got a 2-year-old crying in the background, it's a little more difficult. But if you have the opportunity to place that office at the other end of the house, you might come off as a little bit more professional, and you might enjoy working from home a little bit better. I've been fortunate, basically been working from home/office the entirety of my career. Since I got my architecture license, I've been working in my house or in my office, which is close by. So I have experience with this, and I can tell you that the sounds that sort of, you know, and you're in the sound business, or hopefully not the noise business, but right. You're in the sound business,
good,
right?
Good one.
And yeah. And you want to keep your sounds kind of separated. And I think that's by and large, that's a aspect or a side consideration when you're planning those spaces. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, you know, again, I mean, even people might consider finishing their basements, and you can even do that, design a new space in the basement, right?
I certainly can. And it's an interesting phenomenon. So, there is a thing where, like, I don't know what it probably has some psychological basis, but people, when they see an existing space, they want to use it. And a lot of times, like you suggest, a lot of times people think, oh, I have this basement, let's just finish it out, and then we can send the kids down there. And you can. And certainly that's something a lot of people do. And oftentimes finances dictate that that's what you have to do. But the thing is, basements aren't usually nice. So you end up building this sort of suboptimal space, and it's not free. You still spend a lot of money to build out a basement. Whereas if you'd use that money, perhaps increasing your footprint or making the circulation, the flow of your house better, you may have been better served. But the thing is, people see that space. In fact, I met with a client yesterday, and she wants to finish out the basement. And I explained, I said, listen, this basement is not nice. You can finish it out, but there's no windows, and it's going to be depressing. So it's not going to be used in the way that you might hope it'll be used. So anyways, there is the assumption that there's, because it's an empty space, we should finish it out.
Yeah. Well, what your point about the home office and the sound and the noise and all that makes perfect sense, especially since, you know, we've all lived together through a pandemic here, and we know what we have to deal with as families that need to function, as humans, you know, that need to live comfortably. So, Mark, this is awesome, but we need to take a break, because when we come back, I want to go through some questions here. And I want to find out all the info that we can get out of you today on this episode. So this is really cool to talk about.
Use me.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, that's where we're at as far as people are making those decisions. Do I move or do I put it in a home office? So this is On Point. More with Mark, Alex, Maydeek coming up. We're talking architecture in the backyard. We'll be back right after these words.
You have arrived. There's a new shop in Westport showcasing goods from around the globe. Behind every destination is a journey. Destination House is a unique gallery and home decor store, now with two locations in Montauk and Westport. Destination House is curated with an artistic coastal flair. The design, accessories, art, and photography reflect a range of styles from rock and chic to Montauk bohemian and more. Check out DestinationHouse.com. That's House, spelled H-A-U-S. Visit them in Montauk or at 56 Riverside Avenue in Westport.
From hot to cold, breakfast to lunch, JV's Deli has something for everyone. Having a family get-together or need to feed the working crew, JV specializes in thin crust pizza, deli sandwiches, pasta, and more. 15 Tierney Street, up the road from City Hall. Check out their great menu at jvsdeliandpizza.com.
Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar is open and serving the best tapas in town. Come enjoy dinner and choose from their wide selection of red and white wine, sangria and cerveza as well. Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar with three locations, Westbrook, East Haven, and Norwalk. Enjoy happy hour drink prices Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. along with their full dinner menu including tapas.
Hey, how about a great sandwich for lunch or delicious breakfast and cappuccino? This is Sergio. Come and see me at Francesca's Cafe and Grill right here on the Post Road in Norwalk, 249 Westport Avenue. Your friend Sergio here does it all, from Italy to Norwalk, to coffee and cannolis. Francesca is truly a piece of Italy right here in the heart of Norwalk. Check out our great menu at francescasdeli.com.
We're back. You're listening to The City's Backyard.
We're in the backyard of Westport, Connecticut. We are talking to a guy that knows his stuff when it comes to investing in your house or doing whatever you need to do. Additions, do you build new homes, Mark, as an architect?
Yep, we do new homes as well. We try to understand people's needs and then try to see if the existing house will satisfy those needs, and we can increase or renovate or add. Or sometimes the situation is such that you're just going to build a new house.
Let's get to these questions here. So if you're thinking about maybe doing an addition, you need a variance, right?
You don't always need a variance. So a variance is technically a divergence from what the normal rules and regulations are of a piece of property. So for example, if you have a property and your town requires that you build your house 50 feet away from the front street, sometimes you can go in for a variance, say, actually, this particular property has a problem and we need to build it a little closer. Will you let us? And that's called a variance. And that's one of the things we do. We apply for variances as well, but that depends on the property. And there's usually some analysis that we need to do of the property before we're able to determine if we can do a variance or not.
Yeah. And people need permits to build. If you're building off of your kitchen and putting in a room with a fireplace and the TV, I have something very nice that I'm happy with. But it wasn't easy because, you have to have all these permits. So let's talk permits and what's your experience with them.
Permits are probably the least enjoyable in some ways part of the whole process, because it's definitely bureaucratic by nature. And a permit is basically the town giving you the authorization, the okay to build something. And the town has all their goals, and they want to make sure that not too much water is used, that your house isn't too big, or that you don't have too many bedrooms based on your septic field, and that it's located properly on the piece of property that you have. So there's a lot of, they have their own considerations, but the whole process that you have to go to, well, for one thing, it varies from town to town how easy and how difficult it might be. Westport specifically, I've had a hard time in Westport, but we've done a lot of projects in Darien, and Darien's gone very smoothly lately, so we're pretty happy with that. But there's a zoning department, there's the health department, there's the building department, there are all these different departments that get to weigh in on your permit before they say, all right, go ahead and build. It can be a challenge. It can be a bureaucratic kind of logistical challenge. And the question is, who's doing that?
And exactly. And you said that in the beginning of the podcast, either, is it up to the contractor or the architect? So in your case, you're handling a lot of this stuff that a general contractor may do. Can you estimate how much the project will cost?
Well, I can't estimate a project in without having seen it, but I will. I can give some pretty broad parameters, and this is accurate as of the last 6 months, I'll say, which has been a pretty tumultuous 6 months. But generally speaking, at this time, if you say kitchen, if you say the word kitchen, and you want to renovate your kitchen, and when I say when the prices I'm going to describe to you, I focus my work in four towns. I focus in Westport, Darien, New Canaan, and Greenwich. And those are obviously upper kind of the part of the price spectrum. But nonetheless, if you're talking a kitchen in any one of those towns, you're talking $150,000 at a minimum. So you touch a kitchen, that's $150,000. And if you're doing a master bathroom, that's probably, you know, $50,000-$75,000. So if you're doing just those two items, you're already close to 250, and you haven't added the space and you haven't done an addition. So generally speaking, these types of projects that I'm seeing a lot of these days, they start at 350, let's say 350,000. You can obviously go sky's the limit from there, but I would say probably in the 80% range, you're looking at $500,000 for these types of additions towns.
Let's talk about how long some of this will take briefly, because we do need to take one more quick break, and I still have more questions for you. So I want to make sure we get through all of this. How long does some of this stuff take? 6 months, year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good range. I would say between 6 months on the inside to a year, mostly on the outside, depending on the scope. The big question mark is the permits. I had one project recently in Darien, actually, where we started the project and got permits within 2 months. And that is unheard of. I mean, we had no drawings whatsoever. We started our drawings, we went out of the town, and we pushed it real hard, and we got it. It's actually more like 6 weeks, which is, it was phenomenal. At the other extreme, I've had projects where it's taken 8 months, 10 months to get a building permit, and it's kind of a crapshoot. So, but to put that in the context with the other, you could be looking at a year, year and a half between now and when you can enjoy your space.
And once you have it, it's totally worth it, because it beats moving in a lot of cases. So more with Mark, Alex, Mady coming up. We are talking about architecture, additions, renovations, kitchens, all that good stuff. And more coming up right after this.
The Milford Performance Center and Prognosis present the American Pink Floyd Show, Saturday night, December 10th, coming to Orange, Connecticut, 205 Old Grassy Hill Road, Orange, with a laser light show. The American Pink Floyd Show, playing the music of Pink Floyd. For tickets, go to milfordperformancecenter.org.
Visit Rory's Restaurant, 416 Post Road in Darien. Rory's is where it's always delicious. Try their great selection of mouth-watering appetizers, hot and cold sandwiches, scrumptious entrees, and outrageous soups. Check out their menu at rorys.net or call 203-655-9453 for takeout or curbside pickup. Open 7 days.
Live theater is back, and in your own backyard at Curtain Call. There's always something on at Curtain Call at the Sterling Farms Theater Complex, Newfield Avenue in Stamford. For half the price of a Broadway ticket, a family of four can see a show at Curtain Call. Call 203-461-6358 or go online to curtaincallinc.com. That's curtaincallinc.com.
Hey, can't find New York-style pizza in Connecticut? Check out Planet Pizza at 607 Main Avenue, Norwalk. Dave's Planet Pizza of Norwalk. Order now at planetpizzanorwalk.com. Delivery available to Darien, New Canaan, Weston, Wilton, and Norwalk.
We're back on this episode, and we are talking about additions, home improvements, and who do you use when you decide to do that kind of stuff? You have to use somebody that you trust, that has the background, the education. Mark, welcome back to the show. I've got some more questions for you here. What sets you apart from other architects and developers?
Oh, that's a great question. We pride ourselves on doing the absolute most efficient, best floor plans possible. And that's a little different than some local architects who, I believe, they start from sort of the outside in, meaning they will start with how the facade of a house looks, and then kind of work their way in, and the floor plan, the spaces, the layout, it ends up being sort of an afterthought. We go floor plan first, meaning if you want the best laid out rooms and circulation and spaces adjoining each other you can possibly have, that would be us. We're efficient, we're good, we get in, we're like a tactical architectural division as opposed to more floral and more, you know, trying to impress the neighbors. The architecture that we do, we're trying to make you happy, not trying to make your neighbors jealous, which I guess is kind of a way to say it.
So, all right. So I noticed you have a little sense of humor there, even on your website. How does this play into, you know, your work with the clients that are contacting you to do this stuff?
Well, I'll tell you, I've had so much work lately that I'm happy to be able to be a little bit more selective. And so we rebranded recently. It used to be my last name, Maydeacon Fills. And that was hard to spell, hard to remember. So we rebranded the name of my company to Bridger AAD, which is the Bridger is a good metaphor for connecting people and places, just connecting in general, a little easier to spell. And the AAD, architecture, approvals, and development, speaks to what we're good at. So I realized that if I want to attract clients that have a sense of humor and projects that are fun to do, I need to express that through the branding and through when we created the website and when we do our domain name is We Are Bad. We are BAAD2As.com. We are bad. That's kind of funny, you know. Yeah. We can help. We are bad, right? And it's sort of self-selecting. If you do brand like that, you know, with a sense of humor, hopefully you'll get the clients that are looking to have a little bit of fun with their projects and at least have a good time throughout the process instead of being a little bit more, subdued. Yeah. and very matter of fact about the whole process. We're trying to have some fun along the way and do a good job.
So, all right, what makes a good client and what do you like best about some of the clients that you get to work with?
Oh, that's an easy question. The good client. So here's how I view my role. I view my role as the person who gets paid to give their best opinions on things. And so because of that, I view the perfect client to be a client who will listen to my suggestions and consider them genuinely. And they're not always, but I have lots of ideas. They're not always good, but I have lots of them. So I like to go to a client and say, hey, what if we do this? And they say, huh, no. Or they say, huh, okay. So sometimes I'm blessed with a client who doesn't have a preconceived notion of how their addition or house is going to lay out. And we get to go in there and solve the problem in the best way we know how and work with the client to develop the best solution for them. So I love clients that can be collaborative with. Some people might say, I love a client with a $10 million budget. Well, you know, that's great, but I would rather have a client, honestly, that we could to be in partnership with and really develop a project together that we're all going to be proud of at the end of the day, including the contractor. I love it when an owner, myself, and a contractor can be at a table and figure out a problem, like how are we going to make this space work? Or we don't have that $100,000. How can we sort of revisit this? I genuinely love those challenges and finding solutions for people that work best for all of us.
Wow, that is all good stuff. You know, you really have to jive with the architect and the contractor as a client because you're spending a lot of money and yep. You know, yep, your life savings could be pretty much on the line for this decision with whatever, yep, you're going to do to your home. But in the end, you know, if you choose the right person and you do your homework and you follow through with what you need, you can come out with something beautiful and then it beats moving. And in the long run, you're saving money, right?
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. Absolutely. So, Don't be penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah. As we wind down the podcast here, because you've been great with all these answers. I mean, you know your stuff. So you've basically been doing this on your own as an architect all these years. And now you're the CEO of this company, Bridger Architecture Approvals and Development. So people should contact you. Even if they're just entertaining the idea of a new kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to take any call and ask it and answer any questions about architecture and the process or whatever that might be. Early stages, late stages, no, not a problem.
So again, your website?
My website is wearebad.com, and that's wearebaad.com.
And you are ready to start talking about what with your client? Their new kitchen, their new bathroom, their new home office?
My favorite conversation starts out with, we need to improve this area of our lives. Meaning, for example, our kitchen is too small and we can't fit three people in here cooking at once. So how do we solve that? That's a great conversation. Or, you know, my wife and I, we need two different vanities at our bathroom. How are we going to get a bigger master bathroom? These are great conversations, and I love figuring those things out.
That is awesome. Mark, Alex, Madeek, thanks so much for being our guest today in the city's backyard of Westport, Connecticut. It's been a lot of fun talking architecture with you.
Matt, is absolutely my pleasure, and I'm glad I ran into you last week. Hope we get to continue these conversations in the future.
That puts a wrap on another edition of The City's Backyard. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon.